Simple words on a page with pictures beside. This is all I have, this humble book. But oh, what words, what pictures, what a book. I am P.J. Lynch, Laureate Nanogue of Ireland, and you're listening to Night, Night, Northwest.
Hello to everyone here and to all our listeners at home. You're all very welcome once more to County Donegal's Central Library in Letterkenny. We're here for, I'm sad to say, the last programme in the Night Night Northwest series. Over the course of this series, we have brought you what we hope were a unique set of programmes, all based on Irish children's literature. You have heard stories about giants, sunbeams, a happy prince, and a little boy called Tom who refused to wear shoes. Today we are delighted to be joined by the pupils from Skolmuirreagan Smaol, Letterkenny, and once again by our guest reader, Mr. P.J. Lynch, the Laureate Nanogue of Ireland. P.J. helped us launch this series, and now he is going to help us, sadly, say goodbye.
Oh. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hello. Do you know why I'm wearing this? Does anyone know?
Because you're an author.
Sort of. I'm not really an author, I'm an illustrator. So what's an illustrator?
Someone who draws the pictures.
For?
Books.
For books, exactly right. Yeah. One of the first books I illustrated was called Oscar Wilde's Stories for Children. Right? And there are two stories in this that are really well known. One is The Selfish Giant. There's The Selfish Giant. But the one I'm going to read today is all about this guy. He's a statue. And his name is the Happy Prince. Has anyone heard of the Happy Prince?
No.
No? You have?
Yeah.
So, but don't tell everyone how the story goes, okay? So that's the one that we're going to read today. Are you looking forward to it?
Yes.
Do you all love stories?
Yes.
Do you all read books?
Yes.
Okay, need to see some hands. Who's your favourite author? Who's yours, Cora?
Roddy Doyle.
Roddy Doyle? Oh, wow. He's a great author. He's Irish. Brilliant. Who else? Who's your favourite author?
Roald Dahl.
Roald Dahl. Did you say Roald Dahl? I thought you said Roddy Doyle.
Yes, Roddy Doyle.
Roddy Doyle, yeah. Their names are very similar, aren't they? I never thought of that before. You did a funny face when I said, who reads books? Do you not read books?
Sometimes.
We've got to get you reading more books, Mina. Anyway, so we're going to talk about Oscar Wilde and we're going to read one of his stories. We're going to read excerpts from The Happy Prince, okay? Are you all ready for it?
Yes!
Great! Well, here we go. High above the city, on a tall column, stood the statue of the Happy Prince. He was gilded all over with thin leaves of fine gold. For eyes he had two bright sapphires, and a large red ruby glowed on his sword hilt. He was very much admired indeed. "He is as beautiful as a weathercock," remarked one of the town councillors, who wished to gain a reputation for having artistic tastes, "only not quite so useful," he added, fearing lest people should think him unpractical, which he really was not. "Why can't you be like the Happy Prince?" asked a sensible mother of her little boy who was crying for the moon. "The Happy Prince never dreams of crying for anything." "I am glad there is someone in the world who is quite happy," muttered a disappointed man as he gazed at the wonderful statue. "He looks just like an angel," said the charity children as they came out of the cathedral in their bright scarlet cloaks and their clean white pinafores. "How do you know?" said the mathematical master. "You have never seen one." "Ah, but we have, in our dreams," answered the children. And the mathematical master frowned and looked very severe, for he did not approve of children dreaming. One night, there flew over the city a little swallow. His friends had gone away to Egypt 6 weeks before, but he had stayed behind, for he was in love with the most beautiful reed. That's like a long piece of grass, a reed. He had met her early in the spring as he was flying down the river after a big yellow moth, and had been so attracted by her slender waist that he had stopped to talk to her. "Shall I love you?" said the swallow, who liked to come to the point at once, and the reed made him a low bow. So he flew round and round her, touching the water with his wings and making silver ripples. This was his courtship, and it lasted all through the summer. "It is a ridiculous attachment," twittered the other swallows. "She has no money and far too many relations." And indeed, the river was quite full of reeds. Then, when the autumn came, they all flew away. After they had gone, he felt lonely and began to tire of his lady love. "She has no conversation," he said, "and I'm afraid that she is a coquette, for she is always flirting with the wind, and certainly whenever the wind blew, the reed made the most graceful curtsies. I admit that she is domestic," he continued, "but I love travelling, and my wife, consequently, should love travelling also. Will you come away with me?" he said finally to her. But the reed shook her head. She was so attached to her home.
"You're stuck in the ground."
"You have been trifling with me," he cried. "I'm off to the pyramids. Goodbye." And he flew away. All day long he flew, and at night time he arrived at the city. "Where shall I put up?" he said. "I hope the town has made preparations." And then he saw the statue on the tall column. "I will put up here," he cried. "It is a fine position with plenty of fresh air." So he alighted just between the feet of the happy prince. "I have a golden bedroom," he said softly to himself as he looked around, and he prepared to go to sleep. But just as he was putting his head under his wing, a large drop of water fell on him. "What a curious thing," he cried. "There's not a single cloud in the sky. The stars are quite clear and bright, and yet it is raining. The climate in the north of Europe is really dreadful. The reed used to like her rain, but that was merely her selfishness." Then another drop fell. "Do you know what it is?" "What is the use of a statue if it cannot keep the rain off?" he said. "I must look for a good chimney pot," and he determined to fly away. But before he had opened his wings, a third drop fell. And he looked up and he saw, what did he see? The eyes of the happy prince were filled with tears. And tears were running down his golden cheeks. His face was so beautiful in the moonlight that the little swallow was filled with pity. "Who are you?" he said. "I am the happy prince." "Why are you weeping then?" asked the swallow. "You have quite drenched me. When I was alive and had a human heart," answered the statue, "I did not know what tears were, for I lived in the palace of Sanssouci, where sorrow is not allowed to enter. In the daytime I played with my companions in the garden, and in the evening I led the dance in the great hall. Around the garden ran a very lofty wall, but I never cared to ask what lay beyond it. Everything around me was so beautiful. My courtiers called me the happy prince, and happy indeed I was. If pleasure be happiness, so I lived and so I died. And now that I am dead, they have set me up here so high that I can see all the ugliness and all the misery of my city. And though my heart is made of lead, yet I cannot choose but weep." "What, is he not solid gold?" said the swallow to himself. He was too polite to make any personal remarks out loud. "Far away," continued the statue in a low musical voice, "far away in a little street there is a poor house. One of the windows is open, and through it I can see a woman seated at a table. Her face is thin and worn, and she has coarse red hands, all pricked by the needle, for she is a seamstress. She is embroidering passion flowers on a satin gown for the loveliest of the Queen's maids of honour to wear at the next court ball. In a bed in the corner of the room, her little boy is lying ill. He has a fever, and he's asking for oranges. His mother has nothing to give him but river water. So he is crying. Swallow, swallow, little swallow, will you not bring her the ruby out of my sword hilt? My feet are fastened to this pedestal and I cannot move. I'm waited for in Egypt, said the swallow. My friends are flying up and down the Nile, talking to the large lotus flowers. Soon they will go to sleep in the tomb of the great king. The king is there himself in his painted coffin. He is wrapped in yellow linen and embalmed with spices. Round his neck is a chain of pale green jade, and his hands are like withered leaves. Swallow, little swallow, said the prince, will you not stay with me one night and be my messenger? The boy is so thirsty and his mother is so sad. I don't think I like boys, answered the swallow. Last summer when I was staying on the river, there were two rude boys, the miller's sons, who were always throwing stones at me. They never hit me, of course. We swallows fly far too well for that. And besides, I come from a family famous for its agility, but still it was a mark of disrespect. But the happy prince looked so sad, the little swallow was sorry. It's very cold here, he said, but I will stay with you for one night and be your messenger. Thank you, little swallow, said the prince. So the swallow picked out the great ruby from the prince's sword and flew away with it in his beak over the roofs of the town. What do you think of it so far, guys?
Good and sad.
And in some bits are funny as well. Let's look at some of the pictures. Look, now this might make more sense. There's the statue of the happy prince. And there's the city. And look who's here.
The swallow.
Yeah.
It looks like a normal bird.
Well, it is a normal bird. It's, there you go.
Cool.
Now, do you remember what color was the statue when the,
gold?
At the start? He was gold at the start, wasn't he? Look, there's the first picture in the book. Shows the swallow, and these are the reeds. Remember, he fell in love with one of the reeds. That was a bit crazy, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, and let's get back to the story. Okay, where were we? Happy Prince, part two. I am come to bid you goodbye, he cried. Swallow, little swallow, said the happy prince, will you not stay with me one night longer? It's winter, answered the swallow, and the chill snow will soon be here. In Egypt, the sun is warm on the green palm trees, and the crocodiles lie in the mud and look lazily about them. My companions are building a nest in the temple of Baalbek, and the pink and the white doves are watching them and cooing to each other. Dear prince, I must leave you, but I will never forget you. And next spring, I will bring you back two beautiful jewels in place of those you have given away. The ruby shall be redder than a red rose, and the sapphire shall be as blue as the great sea. In the square below, said the happy prince, there stands a little match girl. She has let all her matches fall in the gutter, and they are all spoiled, and she is crying. She has no shoes or stockings, and her little head is bare. Pluck out my other eye and give it to her. I will stay with you one night longer, said the swallow, but I cannot pluck out your eye. You would be quite blind then. Swallow, swallow, little swallow, said the prince, do as I command you. So he plucked out the prince's other eye. Yeah, and he darted down with it, and he swooped past the little match girl, and he slipped the jewel into the palm of her hand. What a lovely bit of glass, cried the little girl, and she ran home laughing. Then the swallow came back to the prince. You are blind now, he said, so I will stay with you always. No, little swallow, said the poor prince, you must go away to Egypt. I will stay with you always, said the swallow, and he slept at the prince's feet. Are you enjoying it, even though it's sad?
She's gonna cry.
Okay. You'll make me cry now, please don't. Dear little swallow, said the prince, you tell me of marvellous things, but more marvellous than anything is the suffering of men and women. There is no mystery so great as misery. Fly over my city, little swallow, and tell me what you see there. So the swallow flew over the great city and saw the rich making merry in their beautiful houses while the beggars were sitting at the gates. He flew into dark lanes and he saw the white faces of starving children looking out listlessly at the black streets. Under the archway of a bridge, two little boys were lying in one another's arms to try and keep themselves warm. "How hungry we are," they said. "You must not lie there," shouted the watchman, and they wandered out into the rain. Then he flew back and told the happy prince what he had seen. "I am covered with fine gold," said the prince. "You must take it off leaf by leaf and give it to my poor. The living always think that gold can make them happy." Leaf after leaf of the fine gold the swallow picked off till the happy prince looked quite dull and grey. Leaf after leaf of the fine gold he brought to the poor, and the children's faces grew rosier, and they laughed and they played games in the street. "We have bread now," they cried. Then the snow came, and after the snow came the frost. The streets looked as if they were made of silver. They were so bright and glistening, long icicles like crystal daggers hung down from the eaves of the houses. Everyone went about in furs, and the little boys wore scarlet caps and skated on the ice. The poor little swallow grew colder and colder, but he would not leave the prince. He loved him too well. He picked up crumbs outside the baker's door when the baker was not looking and tried to keep himself warm by flapping his wings. But at last he knew he was going to die. He had just strength to fly up to the prince's shoulder once more. "Goodbye, dear prince," he murmured. "Will you let me kiss your hand?" "I am glad that you're going to Egypt at last, little swallow," said the prince. "You've stayed too long here, but you must kiss me on the lips, for I love you." "It is not to Egypt that I'm going," said the swallow. "I'm going to the house of death." "Death is the brother of sleep, is he not?" And he kissed the happy prince on the lips, and he fell down dead at his feet.
Percy's crying.
Oh, no, we're all crying a bit, guys. It's so sad. At that moment, a curious crack sounded inside the statue, as if something had broken. The fact is that the leaden heart had snapped right in two. It certainly was a dreadfully hard frost. Early the next morning, the mayor was walking in the square below in company with the town councillors. As they passed the column, he looked up at the statue. "Dear me, how shabby the happy prince looks," he said. "How shabby indeed," cried the town councillors, who always agreed with the mayor. And they went up to look at it. "The ruby has fallen out of his sword. His eyes are gone and he is no longer golden," said the mayor. "In fact, he is little better than a beggar." "Little better than a beggar," said the councillors. "And here is actually a dead bird at his feet. Ugh," continued the mayor. "We must really issue a proclamation that birds are not to be allowed to die here." And the town clerk made a note of the suggestion. So they pulled down the statue of the happy prince. "As he is no longer beautiful, he is no longer useful," said the art professor at the university. And then they melted the statue in a furnace. And the mayor held a meeting of the corporation to decide what was to be done with the metal. "We must have another statue, of course," he said, "and it should be a statue of myself." "Of myself," said each of the town councillors, and they quarrelled. When I last heard of them, they were quarrelling still. "What a strange thing," said the overseer of the workmen at the foundry. "This broken lead heart will not melt in the furnace. We must throw it away." So they threw it on a dust heap where the dead swallow was also lying. "Bring me the two most precious things in the city," said God to one of his angels. And the angel brought him the leaden heart and the dead bird. "You have rightly chosen," said God, "for in my garden of paradise, this little bird shall sing forevermore, And in my city of gold, the happy prince shall praise me. That's the end. Oh, guys. What did you think of it?
Sad.
Was it very sad, Elish? Some people are smiling, some people are crying. But it was a sad, good story, wasn't it? Yeah? Emma, what's your question?
Why did they put him in a town where all the people were like sad and poor when he was happy, when he died?
Well, that was the town that he lived in. But he didn't see how poor people were because he lived in the palace. So naturally when he died, they put him up over the town square so he could see far more than he ever could when he was alive. Yes, Natalia?
Why did he stop to cry and why did he give away, like, everything?
You're just asking me questions. I'm going to ask you the same question back. Why did he give away everything? Natalia? Why do you think he gave everything away?
Because they were poor and they didn't have anything.
Yes, and he thought, I don't need it. I don't need these jewels. So he gave them away.
Nobody gave them any food.
Why did nobody give them any food? That's a good question. The town councillors, it sounded like they were very...
Brainy.
They were very arrogant and not very brainy, but they loved themselves. Did you say greedy? You're absolutely right. Very greedy and just selfish and interested in themselves. And they wanted statues of themselves. That's why they didn't, because they didn't care about the poor people.
I think they were scared of the mayor, so they always agreed with him.
Yeah. Olivia has a question.
It's actually really mean. It's because they were like, the prince statue is not that pretty anymore, so we shall melt it, and it's not really nice.
Yeah, and I think Oscar Wilde, when he says that the happy prince's statue, it wasn't beautiful anymore, but he had done a really beautiful thing, giving everything away, and so even though he was kind of grey and he didn't have his jewels, he was truly beautiful, wasn't he? I think. Yeah, what do you think, Ola?
It doesn't matter if someone doesn't like someone how it looks, it's just how they are.
Yeah. Looks are just superficial. Yes, Caitlin.
I think I know why he gave away like both of his eyes so he didn't have to see all the misery.
Has anybody anything to say about the swallow? What do you think about the swallow in the story?
I don't.
The swallow is really brave, and at the end when he said goodbye to the statue, I felt really sad because he was gonna die. But I think the statue thought that he was going to Egypt, but he wasn't because he was gonna die. And he was really weak.
You're right. The swallow is like the hero of this one, isn't he? The swallow was the, as you said, Ida, he was very brave. Look, guys, there's my picture showing the swallow. That's when he knows he's going to die. And he goes up onto the happy prince's shoulder. And does the happy prince look kind of sad in that picture?
Yeah.
And you could, yeah.
It's more of the sad prince now.
It is more of the sad prince. And look, that's where he's going to fall down there. And let's see, is there one single more picture? Oh, look. Cassie, you shouldn't look too sad.
Cassie, I want to see it.
It's the broken heart.
Cassie, look
and
away.
And the little swallow.
Don't look.
Can you all
don't
see?
Don't look, Cassie.
Kayla,
don't
come look, and have a look. You're brilliant.
So, Cassie, you started crying in the middle of that story.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, it's like a love story, but a touching story. Like, poor people and you fall in love. It's like the way of life, and then you realize it's not all happy and there's downfalls.
Yeah.
It's not all up, it's down too.
And were you crying for the prince or the swallow?
Everybody. Poor people should be respected just like everybody.
Were you all really sad?
Yes.
So will this make you go home and read stories?
Yes.
I can't go to sleep without reading stories.
I come to the library a lot because my sister comes to study too.
That's very good, isn't it? Do you like the library?
Yeah.
Simple words on a page with pictures beside. This is all I have, this humble book. But oh, what words, what pictures, what a book.
That's it from this episode. Sadly, the last in the series, and I'd like to thank the children from Skolmwira Gansmal. And a very special thanks to PJ for coming here today to read for us again. So until next time, hopefully. Okay, girls, thank you so much. Say bye-bye to PJ.
Bye-bye.
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 Bye-bye. Love to see you guys.
The Happy Prince by Oscar Wilde. Illustrations by PJ Lynch. Was first published in 1986 by Macmillan Publishing Company. Night Night Northwest was produced, directed and presented by Alison Toomey and is a Real Films production which was funded by the Donegal County Council Library Service and the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.